If you're visiting this week, my name is Pastor David. I'm the lead pastor here at Five Corners Church. It's good to see the family again. Some of you are away for Christmas. I would love to catch up with you. We had a great time tobogganing on Friday. If you missed that, you missed, I think, my highlight event of the year. So we got a lot of kids tobogganing in minus 20, and we had a lot of fun. If you want to hear good stories about it, find Chris. He's got a bruise to prove it. It was a good wipeout. Kids, normally we dismiss for Sunday school, but Sunday school doesn't start till next week. So if you can't pay attention to my monotonous, droning out voice, we got coloring sheets and activity packs and crafts and things like that for you to catch up with. So you can get them in our discussion question. If you're visiting, welcome. We start our teaching time with breaking into small groups, and we talk about what we're going to talk about. And to start with, Anna, if you could throw the question up on the screen. If you want to break into groups of family groups or 6 to 8 people, meet someone new, and share a story of when your car broke down and on the side of the road. What did you do? Did you call a friend? Did you find a stranger? Like, you standing on the corner with a jerry can waving? I don't know. Share the story. What did you do when you broke down? Go for it right now. Groups of 6 to 8 people. It's a new year. Wayne alluded to it. He's praying for a fresh start. Some of us need, I like that word, fresh. Reminds me of the lettuce at the grocery store when the little rain sprinkler is coming on. Just that freshness. Now, how many of you do New Year's resolutions? Just lift up your hands. Oh, Connie. Connie, Keith is kind of timid. I'm not really one of those New Year's resolution guys, right? Like, some people have goals, they want something to be different, but I'm generally in the introspective kind of person, so I don't often have New Year's resolutions because when I need to change something, I hope that I change it right away. Like, I hope I don't wait for the calendar to go, oh yeah, and I hope I'm not like, well, what did I forget about last, like, I try and work on these things when I hope I'm quick to do it and not wait. But not everybody is wired like me, and some of you, when you turn that calendar, you're like, oh yeah, here's a reminder to just stop going and maybe look at where I'm at and see what God has for me. And it's interesting to me, when you think about it, most of the time when people talk about New Year's resolutions, most of them are very self-centered in nature. It's not entirely a bad thing. Like, I don't want to poo-poo them. It's just an observation that many of our New Year's resolutions are self-centered. Like you might say, this year I want to lose weight, or I want to eat better this year, or I want to keep my house cleaner this year, or I want to get rid of our cat this year. And I don't know what it might be for you, but a lot of times our goals, they seem to be more about us than anything else. And the tragedy is, though, when so much of our life, when it comes to God, it's more about us than it is about Him. For example, so many people today, when it comes to God, they're trying to get God to do what they want rather than trying to figure out what God wants for their life. And sometimes their life ends up being, their faith becomes very self-centered. God bless me. God help me be richer. God help me be happier. God give me what I want. And whenever life doesn't go the way that we want to, there's some people who end up blaming God. They might say, well, you know, I tried to go to church once. Like, I read my Bible, and I did whatever, and I didn't get that better job, or I didn't get that better parking space, or the girl that I wanted to marry, she went and found someone else. I tried God, and it didn't work, because God didn't do what I wanted God to do. And what's interesting is that the people often think that God exists for us, because we need Him. But in reality, we exist for God. We exist to serve Him, to honor Him. And in fact, when Jesus invited people to follow Him, I want to read it to you. Matthew 16:24. If you want to open up, we're going to stick in this chapter for a while. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must do what? You must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Have you heard that before? You must take up your cross and follow me. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, it's less about us and it's more about him. And that's why as we move into this new year, in the culture, the Canadian culture that we live in, a very self-centered, selfish culture, I want to teach four messages that will help us become selfless and more obedient to following Jesus. Because if we want to follow him, it's going to be less about us and more about him. So let me give you the four big themes that we're going to talk about in January so you know where we're going in the coming weeks. Today what I want to do is I want to talk about being bold in our witness, bold in sharing our faith in Christ. I want to also talk about being faithful in service, using our gifts to minister to other people. We're going to talk about being extravagant in generosity. And we'll talk about, lastly, being grateful in the grind. In other words, instead of, God, just do what I want. Do what I want, God. Bless me. Make my life better. Instead, what if we said this? God, use me to reach people. Even if I'm laughed at or ridiculed, help me be bold in my witness. God, use me to use the gifts that I have to serve others, to show your love, even if it makes me uncomfortable, faithful in service. God, help me to use what I have to be a blessing to others, even if I have to change the way I live, my social status or my lifestyle. Extravagant in generosity. And God, help me every single day to wake up and do what even may seem mundane, but to do it all for your glory. Grateful in the grind. So instead of being self-centered and selfish, what if we as followers of Jesus would strive to live a selfless life, starting out by denying ourselves and saying, Jesus, we want what you want. God, I want what you want for me. God, we want to follow your will. So today we're going to start with a big idea, one that I believe will spur many of you on to share the love of Jesus. We're going to talk about being bold in witness. Bold in witness. Let me give you the context of what we're going to talk about in Scripture today. If you can imagine, just picture it in your mind. There were some disciples, some men that Jesus had been training and investing in for about 3 years. And he's teaching them what it means to know God, teaching them how to do God's will. He's investing in them. And every now and then, he says this. Now you need to remember, disciples, the whole reason we're doing this is because one day I'm going to give my life. I'm going to die, and then on the third day, God is going to raise me from the dead. Now, whenever we see that, we see that the disciples had a really difficult time with this because they didn't really understand the whole context like we do today. We can look back and see the end of Jesus' ministry. We don't have to look ahead to wonder what he's doing. They were thinking, Jesus, you can't do this. And every time Jesus would reply, no, I'm going to have to die for the forgiveness of sins. This is why I came. I didn't come for the healthy, but I came for the sick. I didn't come for the righteous, but I came for the sinners. I'm going to have to die, and God is going to raise me from the dead, and 3 days later, I'll be back. And so as we read through the New Testament, we learn that Jesus died on the cross. He suffered brutally. 3 days later, it's Sunday, and what do you think the disciples are doing? Do you think on Saturday night they were out preaching bold? He's coming back. He told us about this. We've been waiting for this. Any minute, here he comes. He's coming back. Was that their response? No, not at all. John's gospel tells us what they were doing. And you can read it in John chapter 20, verse 19. John chapter 20. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Yet Jesus told them he's coming back. Like, What are they doing hiding behind locked doors? They were cowering in fear behind these locked doors. Why? Because they were afraid of those who were the enemies of Christ. Why is it? Those of you who are Christians, who've been in this journey for a while, why is it that we are not more often bold in our witness? There could be a lot of reasons. One reason, I think, the primary reason, I think, is that we're afraid we don't know enough. If we start to share our faith in Christ and someone asks us a question that we don't know, that's kind of intimidating. Another reason, we don't want to offend people, right? We don't want to be pushy. We don't want to be that type of Christian. We don't want to offend people. We're Canadians. And in my opinion, if you get to the root of it, almost every excuse we have, the root of all of our excuses is because we're afraid. We're afraid. We're afraid we don't know enough. We're afraid we'll look silly. We're afraid that if we won't get it right. We're behind locked doors. Afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, I totally, completely understand this. Like, just because I'm the preacher doesn't mean that I wake up every day and my Bible hovers above my table next to my bed and I glow with that supernatural glory to behold in all that I do. Like, I totally get where you're coming from. In fact, a few years ago, maybe more than a few, I had this Bible college class with only one assignment. Like, when you get to the class, you're like, oh, this is going to be a sweet class. There's no final exam. There's only one assignment. Like, I got to listen to this guy talk to me 3 hours twice a week. Great. When I'm done, I'll hand in my last assignment and I'll get a good mark. And the assignment was really difficult. Every day we had to go out and share our faith with people that were not followers of Christ and then document it. So we got this little book and we had to memorize this script in the beginning of it. And I don't remember the whole thing, but like, you know, it's like 20 years ago. But I do remember the opening line. It goes like this. Here's the opening line. Hey, how are you doing? Have you come to a place in your life where you know for certain that tonight, if you'd spend eternity, it would be in heaven or in hell? That was the opening line. Like, that's intimidating to walk up to a stranger and be like, hey, how you doing? And from there, the script got really deep. It was good stuff. And the reason I remember it is because we had to do this whole script for our final mark. We had to report on all of the people that every day over the last semester that we went up to them and we asked them this question. And I remember my professor, I remember he said, before you go to them, make sure that you pray. Ask God to be with you. I remember he had that old school voice where everything ended in the word A. Right, like, hallelujah, one of those guys. And he said, make sure you pray. Make sure you ask the Holy Spirit to help you out. Just make sure you pray before you go. And I can tell you this, every time I went out, I prayed. I was like, oh, dear God, God in heaven, I hope nobody's home when I knock on the door. God, I don't want anybody there because I'm so afraid that I won't do this right. Why is it that we're not more bold in spirit? For most of us, it's because we're so often afraid. But I want to show you in one additional verse of Scripture, one event, one moment that transformed the disciples from being timid and afraid to being bold and courageous. So, John chapter 20, verse 19. This is exciting stuff. That evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus, right, the man who died 3 days earlier, the man who was put in a tomb, suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. And I love what Jesus said. Peace be with you. Right? I think he's kind of cocky, actually. Hey, guys, did you forget that I'm coming back? Like, peace out, I'm here, boys. I'm back. And all of a sudden, these guys went from being selfish, from being timid, from being afraid, self-centered, taking care of themselves, to this bold, courageous, and evangelistic group of people. These guys who were in one moment hiding behind locked doors, in the next scene, in the next season, they were preaching out boldly. Right? Peter, the biggest coward, who caved into a little servant girl. He's saying, I don't know who Jesus is, terrified from this little girl. Peter's now out preaching in front of all of these people. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Like, you couldn't shut this guy up. And the religious leaders, they arrested them, they put them in jail, and they were still preaching away, and even though they're being thrown in prison. And the high priest, this guy named Annas, he asks, you healed this guy, but why, but what power? And what name did you do this? And we see Peter, this guy who was hiding, the guy who just earlier denied Christ. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the text says, remember that. Filled with the Holy Spirit. The text says, he said to them, rulers and elders of our people, we are being questioned today because we have done a good deed for a crippled man. Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel, and watch Peter's boldness, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, by whom God raised from the dead. What was he doing? Because the tomb was empty, because Christ was risen, because he defeated death, hell, the grave, the very man who was timid in spirit was now bold and courageous because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What do we learn from this? We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. We all do this. Because Peter experienced the resurrection of Christ, this consumed him. And later on he said, we can't stop talking about this. Like, it was everything. And we all speak boldly about what we believe deeply. Well, don't we? If you go to a restaurant, like it's a good restaurant, it's the first time you've been there. Well, this is amazing. Well, what do? You're up in everybody's business. You're like, you gotta go there, man. Like, it's the best food I've ever eaten. They're to die for. Or maybe, ladies, you go and you buy these shoes that are really good looking, and they're actually comfortable. Like, they're comfortable shoes. I'm walking, and it's like I'm walking on air. They're just like the most comfortable shoes ever. Or maybe you're one of those, you know, it's Christmas season, we gotta, you know, take a little bit of break. Maybe it's a Netflix show. Like, Netflix, like, you have to watch this. Like, I took off 3 days worth of work just to binge watch the whole 3 seasons. Like, all in one go. We speak boldly about what we believe deeply. And if we're not speaking boldly about our faith in Jesus, do we really believe it deeply? Peter says, let me tell you about the powerful name of Jesus. Verse 12 of Acts 4. He says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And Acts 4, verse 13 says, the members of the council were amazed. They were shocked. They were blown away. They were amazed. There were these ordinary people with no special training in Scripture. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They were amazed at their boldness. So here's a question for those of you who, again, experienced Christians. How amazed are other people at your boldness for Christ? Think about it. How amazed are they? Try to quantify it as best we can. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is unmoved and 10 is massively amazed. Right? How amazed are they at your boldness? Now don't put 10. That's where Jesus is. You're not Jesus, okay? But one is maybe, you could care less. Like, whatever. Nothing at all. Some of you here, you're like a legit 7, 8, somewhere up around there. You're probably not here at church alone. Right now, you've probably got one or two people that you brought with you from your school or from the gym or the place you work. Because you're always inviting people. Or perhaps last week or this week, you talked to 3 or 4 different people about your faith in Christ. And God was using you. Or you've got this list of people every morning that you're praying for. You're praying for your mom. You're praying for your brother-in-law. You're praying for the 3 people that you work with. You're praying for the ladies that you go to coffee with that you just meet on Tuesday at the fast food place. You've got names that you're praying for every single day. You've got a heart to share this good news with people. You're probably a 7 or an 8. Keep up the good work. We love what you're doing. We love it when the family grows. How do you know if you're on the lower end of the scale, though? Well, it's probably pretty obvious, right? And I've never brought anybody to church. Like, I told my neighbor once, but he didn't like it, so we just avoid that topic. I'm not even sure the people at work know I'm a Christian. You're probably a little lower on the scale. How amazed are people by your spiritual boldness? Would they even be surprised to know that you're a follower of Christ? Right? That raises what I would consider to be a very important question. If you're a Jesus follower and we're called to go into all the world, we're called to be salt. We're called to be light. It's not just a suggestion. Hey, guys, Jesus talking here. I got a good idea for you. No. This is what we're supposed to do. So, if it is, if we're supposed to grow in our boldness, how? How do we grow in our boldness? We just tie our boots a little bit tighter? Learn how to speak with A's in the end of our words? I want to give you 2 real simple thoughts from our text. It's not Pastor David's thoughts. These are written down in the Bible. Acts chapter 4. And these are incredibly simple, but they can have a profound impact. The first way that we become more bold is this. Number one, very, very simple. We spend more time with Jesus. Well, what does that mean? That means we're praying. We're listening to him. We're in communication. We're reading his word. We're worshiping. We're spending time with Jesus. For example, look at verse 13 of Acts 4. They were amazed by the disciples' boldness, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in Scripture. One version says that they were ordinary, unschooled men. There's a Greek word in there. And I know we don't read Greek because we're Canadians, but I want to bring it out because that word translated unschooled, it's the word idio. Idio. Can you guess in English what word can be translated from the word idio? If you've ever felt like an idiot, what I want you to understand is you are the perfect candidate for God to use you. God specializes in using ordinary people who have been with Jesus. There's these just ordinary people just like you and me. No training in Scripture, no training in public speaking, no practice or expertise. They've just been with Jesus. Like the enemies of Jesus, the Jewish leaders who killed him, recognized that these were people who had been with Jesus. What happens when we're followers of Christ but we don't spend time with Jesus? Well, let me tell you what happens to me, because that's the life that I experience. If I have a busy day and I don't spend time with Jesus, instead of being heavenly minded, I get consumed with everything in the world. If somebody cuts me off in traffic, I want to rear end them. Like if I get angry, I get consumed with the things in the, like I don't treat my kids with patience. I'm short with my wife. I get consumed with the things of this world like everybody else. I'm easily distracted, and I get too far into whatever it is that I'm getting into. Technology or finances or politics or what people think about me. And the next day, because I didn't have anything happen to me the day before that was spiritual, I don't want to spend any more time with God because I skipped the time with God, and all these spiritual consequences flow out of that. But on the other hand, if like I've trained myself to do, and I hopefully do most every day, I wake up and I spend part of my morning with him, letting him renew my mind, adjust my attitudes away from this selfish to a selfless attitude, where I pray and I bring people before God and I listen to him. And in the rest of the day, I've got divine confidence. God is with me. His Spirit is going to guide me. And suddenly I feel bolder because I've been with him during the day. When I see an opportunity, I recognize this is someone that God brought into my life for me to make a difference in their life. And I might say something, or I might give them something. I might do something to serve them, and I can see how God might use it. And it increases my faith, and I become even more bold, and so I want to do it again and again and again. And the next day when I wake up, I want to spend more time with Jesus because I had all those spiritual positives from the day before and that momentum going in my life because I started the day with him. If you want to grow in boldness, it's very simple. Spend time with Jesus. They were amazed at the disciples' boldness, and they took note. They were ordinary, everyday people who had just been with Jesus. Well, the second thing that we can do, and I think this is very simple too, and God will hear and answer this prayer. Just pray this to him. God, will you make me bold? Just pray. God, give me boldness today to share your goodness. Like, when was the last time that was your prayer? God, give me boldness. When was the last time you asked God for boldness? Go and ask him and watch. He'll answer that prayer. And this is what happened when the religious leaders continued to threaten the disciples. They said, we're going to put you in jail. Imagine if we were faced with that possibility of going to jail for sharing our faith. Or imagine worse, that we could lose our lives. And right now, there are millions of Christians in countries around the world where this is a reality. Like Alberta last year. There were at least three pastors arrested just for showing up and having church. And I understand that when you go bold for your faith in Christ, and in some of these countries, based on whether you were raised in your family, they might even turn on you. Or your life can literally be in danger. What if that was happening to us? We would be scared to death. Would we be hiding behind those locked doors? What would we pray for? God, keep me safe today. Put a hedge of protection around me as I go to grandma's house. God, don't let us get in a car wreck on our travels. Keep the highway clear. Give us good weather. Keep us safe, God. Me. But I love this story. Watch these disciples under the potential threat of death. This is what they prayed for. Acts, verse 29, Acts chapter 4. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. God, give us boldness. In preaching your word. Not keep us safe, not protect us today, but give us boldness. Even though they're already threatening us, God, make us even more bold in what we do. When we spend time with Jesus, we grow in boldness. When we ask him for boldness, he helps strengthen our faith. And when we start to realign and realize and remember and is at the front of our mind when this life is over, people somewhere will be there for eternity. Either they live in the presence of God in heaven or in the horror of eternal damnation in hell. And I'll be honest, I've never been a big fan of what they call fire and brimstone kind of preaching where you try to scare everybody to death. No. But it's also true. It's true to Scripture. There's a very real place that the Bible calls hell. It listed as eternal damnation. It's called a place of torment. It's the outer darkness. It's a place of sorrow. There's this incredible suffering that happens day and night eternally in that place where words cannot convey the horror, the excruciation, the anguish of hell. And in the same way, there's another place, and words cannot adequately convey the glory and the beauty and the splendor and the majesty of the dwelling place of God and his people and what the Bible calls heaven. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2:9. He said, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." We can't even dream how incredible heaven will be in this new earth. It's so good. John, one of the guys who was preaching in our text, he had a vision that is displayed in Revelation 21. And this is what he wrote in Revelation. He said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth disappeared. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. These things are gone forever.'" Verse 5, "And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new. It is finished. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. And to all who are victorious, they will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." We get to speak boldly about what we believe deeply. A timid, fearful faith doesn't reach a lost and hurting, broken world. And I want you to understand that there are people in your life who you love, who don't know the grace of Jesus. And maybe at this moment it's not too late for them, but one day it will be. One day it will be too late. And so what we tend to think is we're hiding behind the locked doors. What if I do this and I don't get it right? What if I try and they say no? What if it breaks my relationship? What if fear. What if I share my faith and they don't want to hear it? We've just lived 2 years where we've opposed the fear of the world. Maybe we need to look at the fear that we have in sharing our faith. So maybe we're asking the wrong questions. Maybe it's not, what if they say no? What if I don't get it right? Maybe the question we should ask ourselves is more powerful. What if I don't tell them? What if I don't? Standing up here telling you to do something. But I have good news for you. For all of you scared people, all of us scared people, God didn't send us out on our own. He sent the Holy Spirit to go out with us. He sent the Holy Spirit to come and fill us, to fill us to overflowing so that out of that overflow we can be bold for him. And if it ever comes to a place where I'm truly persecuted for Christ on my own, I don't think I'll be able to stand. But Jesus said he would give us power, that he would send the Holy Spirit to come with us, that the fortress when we need the strength and the boldness, that it won't be by our own willpower and grit. Instead, it's by his Spirit. And remember this, at one moment, those disciples were scared to death. But when they realized that Jesus rose again, everything changed. So for some of you right now in this moment, the tomb is empty. The Holy Spirit has come. Instead of being afraid, just like Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, you're an ordinary person, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be courageous in faith and bold in witness because we speak boldly about what we believe deeply. And we believe Jesus is the name above every other name, and he is the soon returning King. conquering, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the way, the truth, and the life, the living water, the bread of life, the source, our Savior, the one who died and rose again. That is our King. And we get to share him with the world. Let's pray. Father, I ask today that you would make those who are followers of your Son Jesus, make us bold rather than selfish. God, we deny ourselves. We follow the one who gave his life for us. Those who say, I am a follower of Jesus, God, make them even more bold in spirit. I pray, God, that we would have a revelation of the goodness of yours through the resurrection of your Son Jesus. God, may we center our day around you, seeking you first. God, increase our boldness because we ask for it. God, give us a heart for those who are far from you. And I pray that every single day this week, give us spiritual eyes to see those who are in need of the matchless love and grace of your Son Jesus. And then God, prompt us, give us courage to take that step of faith and not be afraid of what will happen if we do, but realizing that there might be something worse that happens if we don't. God, make us bold for your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to go back earlier to the message. I remember what Jesus did before this. Jesus told them that he was going to die and be raised from the dead for the forgiveness of sins. And if I could just be blunt with you, we live in a culture today where people say, well, I'm not really that bad of a person. Listen, we've all messed up. If you've ever lied or stolen or cheated or lusted or been greedy or unforgiving, like we've all messed up, and the Bible calls that sin. And why do we feel guilty for it? Well, I believe God has put something in us called a conscience, an inner guide that helps us know that we've done wrong. And a lot of times when we think about God, we wonder, could I be good enough for God? Like, do I need to clean up and come to him? And this is, both of these extremes miss the point of the good news. God so loved the world that he became one of us in the person of Jesus. Jesus was born without sin, lived the perfect life, became sin for us on the cross, and died in our place for the forgiveness of our sins. He was raised by God from the dead so that anyone, and this includes you, anyone, calls on his name would be forgiven, transformed forever. Everybody needs Jesus. And when you call on him, he hears your prayer. He forgives your sins. He makes you brand new. Not a better version of you. He makes you brand new. So today, maybe for the first time, tell this to God. God, I repent. I turn from my sins. I turn towards Jesus. I give you my life, no matter what the cost. I will be a follower of Christ. Don't hesitate. Fill me with your Spirit, God, so that I could follow you with boldness. I deny myself. It's not about me. It's all about you. I will trust you and give you my life. Tell that to him. And you will be amazed at the change, the result. Well, thank you for listening to me today. I hope you see my passion. I want to close with another discussion question. I know that when you hear a guy on a stage say something, it's easily forgotten. But when you experience it with the people around you, it's not. So I want us to talk about this. Anna, can you throw it up on the screen? For those of you who have been, share about when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and how that changed your life to make you more bold for Jesus. Talk about what he does best in sending us, equipping us in our calling. And then in your groups of 6 to 8 people, pray for each other, that you would be filled with the Spirit, that it would be an everyday thing, not a once experience. And if you've never experienced the Holy Spirit, that today would be the first time. And support each other on this great journey, being close to Jesus and stepping out from ourselves, our selfishness, to be selfless. Amen? Go for it right now.